gentlemen very much. In Florida, there was a youth group pastor there for almost 6 years. I didn't have a single guy who could hold a tune in a bucket at all, period. None of them could sing, which was okay because I really can't sing either. And then to come here and to have these young men who've got wonderful voices. Ethan, that was a wonderful job. Can't wait to see how he uses his voice. And, of course, we got Gabe and Nathan back there singing. Praise the Lord. Look forward to hearing them from again. Amen. Encourage them. Let them know you enjoyed that. And let the teenagers know that you enjoy them serving in the church. Because guess what? One day, they're going to be the ones in the choir. One day, they're going to be the ones behind the podium here. Because Pastor and I aren't getting any younger. We're getting up there. And I know I probably feel it more than you do, Pastor. But we both have to admit that one day, we're not going to be here. And there's still going to be a Trace Baptist Church. Amen. There's still going to be a Grace Baptist Church, and we pray and ask and plead that God would raise up a group of young people who would take our places, amen, that would be able to be the ushers, that would be able to play the piano, that would be able to lead the song service, that would be able to preach, and listen, I hope we're praying for our next generation, amen. Do you love our young people? Do you want to help them? Do you want to help our young people, amen? Let's just get this out of the way and just understand we come to agreement. How many of you would say, Pastor Cody, I love the young people at Grace Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Let's get our hands up. I love the young people at Grace Baptist Church. Amen. All right. So how many of you would say, Pastor Cody, I love the young people so much, I want to do my part, whatever my part, it's a small part, not asking a big part, just asking a small part. I would like to do my small part to help the young people at Grace Baptist Church. Raise your hand again. I would like to do my small part, just a small part. We got young people raising their hand too. That's good. I would like to do my small part of helping. Let's raise. I want to see. I'll make sure we're in agreement here. Okay. I would believe every person's hand is up saying, I would like to do my small part to help the young people here at Grace Baptist Church. And if that's you, okay, listen. I want you to understand, I'm with you. I want to help you, help me, and help Pastor to help these young people. And I want you to understand that this message, okay, though it's not the worst, this message has the ability to really kind of prick your heart a little bit. But the reason that I want to prick your heart, it's not me, okay, Pastor Cody's not the one preaching this message. Nothing I'm going to say is not found in the scriptures. So this is God and giving me a message that he wants you guys to get a hold of here. And the message is simply an example, not just an impressionist. Being an example, not just an impressionist. So we understand that, folks, we need examples. Even if you are my age, okay, I am 32 years old. I almost said 31, but now I'm 32. 32 years old, and I need people in my life that I can follow. All right, and our pastor, I believe, just turned a certain age this year, and I believe that even our pastor would admit that he needs people to be an example to him, amen? I believe pastor would admit that he's not reached the point that there are still men in his life. I'm sure that Pastor Newman is one of those men that that he looks to for advice and counsel. Folks, there is never a time in our life where we don't need someone to be our example, but especially at an early age. And though this message is geared towards folks with kids or teenagers, the truth of the matter is this message is really preached to anybody who's a new believer. Amen? God calls them little ones. All right? They are little in the faith. They are small. They need someone to help them grow, and they need someone to show them the ropes, per se. And folks, my desire tonight with this message is to help us understand that we need some folks in this church for our young people to look up to. Just to help you guys understand, in my life, I grew up in a home where my mom and my dad were not the folks that I wanted to follow. My mom and dad divorced when I was a young age. My dad was abusive, so my mom left. And I don't blame her. She did what she needed to do. She moved to Florida. So I did not have a mom to be an example. My dad was a good dad. He really was a good man. a good dad. He was not a good man, but he was a good dad. He loved us. He fed us. He worked hard. He made sure we had what we needed. And listen, he loved us. He spent time with us. But when it came to being a Christian, my dad was not the person that I wanted to follow. My dad didn't go to church. My dad didn't read his Bible. My dad did not pray. My dad did not ever once try and be a spiritual example to me. So where did Marvin Cody Frazier find an example to follow? What do you think? At First Bible Baptist Church in Bakersfield, California. And I praise God that a young kid who was a bus kid, who came to church, not with his parents, who came to church because he chose to come to church. Not because I had to, because I wanted to be in church. I came and sat in a pew, and I watched people. And folks, let me just tell you something. If it was not for the Greer family, if it was not for Pastor Sears and Miss Linda, if it was not for Steve and Rosa Hegland, if it was not for some folks in our church there, First Bible Baptist Church, I would not be here today. I promise you that. I promise you that. There's no way, shape, or form Marvin Cody Frazier ends up here without some godly examples in my life. And they were not found at home because I didn't have them at home. I had them at church. And folks, I just want to kind of open your eyes to something right now. We have quite a few bus kids just like me coming to Grace Baptist Church, who at their home had a similar situation as I did. Parents aren't around. Parents aren't there to be examples. Matter of fact, some of the illustrations, as my example, I looked at my dad and said, I don't want to be on drugs. I looked at my dad and I said, I don't want to abuse women like that. I looked at my dad and I said, I don't want to end up in that path. So I looked at my father and I said, I want to be the opposite sometimes. Folks, we have some bus kids. We may even have some church kids that come that need someone to lead them, to be an example. And folks, I just want to ask this question. Could I send a young person to your house to follow you around, to show them the ropes of Christianity? Could I be able to say, oh, well, so-and-so has been saved for 20 years. I am sure that if they've known Jesus Christ as their Savior for 20 years, I am sure that I could send them to their house and that they could lead this young person and show them the ropes of Christianity. I am sure that they could teach them to pray. I am sure that they could teach them to walk with God. I am sure that they could tell them what not to do and what to do. I am sure that if that child went to their house and watched what they watched on television, that it would be appropriate. I am sure that if I sent my young person to this person's house and they got in their car to go to Taco Bell with them, that the music that would be playing would be pleasing to God. I would hope that that would be the case. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I just want you to understand, there's possibly someone of you right here that's sitting here saying, don't send them to my house, Pastor Cody. Pastor Cody, I would admit that the movies they find in my movie cabinet would not be pleasing to God. Pastor Cody, I would admit that some of the things I'm watching or looking at, I wouldn't want a young person seeing. Pastor Cody, I would admit that I wouldn't want the young person to see my prayer life. And I would say, folks, I need examples. I need help. We all would agree, Pastor Cody, I want to do my little part to help the young people. And I'm not asking you to teach a class. I'm not up here asking and pleading with you to help in the youth group. I'm asking this, to be an example. To not just be an impressionist, someone who puts on a good impression, to say, I am what you should be, only to find out that it's hollow. I had a slideshow up here that Carlson wasn't able to get on the screen, but it showed a picture of a hollow Easter bunny. How many of you have ever gotten for Easter a hollow Easter bunny? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you remember the first time you got that hollow Easter bunny? Anybody remember? I tell you what, I remember it just like it was yesterday. My grandma bought us these 2-foot-tall bunnies of chocolate. I had never heard of a hollow bunny before. I thought for sure that 2-foot bunny was going to be enough candy to last me my entire life. I was just sure of it. I remember Easter morning, our grandma giving us that Easter bunny, that giant Easter bunny. And I remember taking a bite of those ears, and I remember it just... I don't remember if I cried. I might have. I probably did, knowing how much I love chocolate Easter bunnies. But folks, I took that bite of that bunny and I realized this thing's not what it says it is. This thing is a hollow bunny. This thing should be full of chocolate, but instead of the inside, it is hollow. There's nothing there. And I can tell you what, that bunny that I thought was going to last me my entire life didn't even last me a couple days. Probably would not have lasted me a couple days if it was solid chocolate, but certainly the fact that it was nothing there made it not last as long. Folks, I want you to understand that that's how we are sometimes. We may put on a face and people would say, look at me, look at me, I am so wonderful, I am so great. And we get to find out what you are on the inside and it's hollow. There's nothing there. And how disappointed a young person would be to find out in your life that there's no substance to it. I want to use this illustration. I'm so glad Armin is here. I'm so sorry I pick on Armin, but Armin is just such a good, likable guy. Wasn't too long ago that Armin told me he rides his bike by my house just about every morning. So kind of made me think, well, you know, if Armin's riding his bike by my house every morning, I need to make sure my house looks good. And I remember him saying something like, oh, I see some toys in your front yard, or not many toys, or something. I was like, oh, got to take up the toys, make sure there's no toys in the front yard. And I would make sure I mowed the front grass. But you know what I would do with those toys that were in the front yard? I'd throw them in the backyard. I would say, Armin surely ain't going to see my backyard. Ain't no way, Armin. I mean, I hope not. Armin's not riding back in the, you know, even if in the alley, you can't see my backyard. So I hope that, you know, Armin thinks that my house is a good house. Because my front yard is clean, my front porch is clean, my grass is mowed. But folks, if you'd walked into my backyard, you'd have said, woo! What is going on here? How many kids do these folks have? How many toys do these kids have? Man, when is this guy going to mow his grass? My front yard looked good, but my backyard was not acceptable. And folks, I'm telling a story on me because that's how sometimes we are. We want to put on a front to people. And we want people to think we are something special. Only to come around to our backyard and find out, oh, well, there's where they're putting all the garbage at. There's where all the sadness lies, and they're really not what they say they are. And I want to just use this as an example, too. We're talking about how we should be substance and how we should be good examples. Let me just tell you, I'm talking negative about myself, okay? In my house, we told our kids that saying, oh, my, you could fill the blank there, OMG, I don't want to say it, God, all of that. We told our kids that that's a bad word. My kids, it's a curse word. It is. And I remember watching TV a few times, and they would say, there would be no big bad words, but they would say, oh my, and my kids, I tell you what, they still say it. They said a curse word! They said a curse word! And sure enough, I have to go back, and sure enough, they did. They said a curse. They said, oh my. And of course, the world would not consider that a cuss word, but my kids were old enough to understand, hey, look, you tell me this is bad, Dad, and here you are letting us watch movies that have this. Folks, I love Star Wars. I love the Marvel movies. I love watching these action movies. I grew up with this stuff. But I came to the point where I understand bringing in that language into my house, bringing in that example to my house is gone. It's done. It's over with. I'm not going to bring that into my house because my kids are going to see Daddy watching that. And they're going to assume that that's okay. And if I'm going to lead my kids in the way that I want them to go, I need to make sure that I'm not bringing things into their life that's going to corrupt them. I don't want my kids losing the softness of their heart to understanding that, oh my, is a curse word. But if I keep bringing it in my house and just allowing us to listen to things that say that, they're going to say it's no big deal. Daddy lets us watch it all the time. I don't want them to lose that. And folks, I am his parent. But you know what, Micah? And Josiah, and Ivy, and Noah, and Tyler, and Ethan, and Tanner, and Haley, and Riley, and all the young people in here, they need an example at church. As I had a Judy Greer, and as I had a Kenny Reynolds, who taught my class, I remember looking and watching these people, and they were always at church. I mean, always. The Greers and the Reynolds were always at church. And I remember having a high school teacher, Stephen Hegland. And Mr. Hegland was always at church. And he was always excited about being in church. And that began to show me. And I didn't, of course, follow them around to their house to see. I did live with the Greers for almost a year. And I remember, of course, I grew up not a Christian home. I remember the first time I woke up and heard them reading their Bible together. I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen a couple reading their Bible together. Here I wake up in the morning and he would read a verse and she would read a verse and he would read a verse and she would read a verse. I thought, wow, these people are a good example to me. So guess what Cody started doing? Cody started finding time to make sure he read his Bible because I had a good example. And folks, I want us to just understand, being this mentality that I'm just a good impression, and then to find out that you were just an impression, you're not really an example, is quite a bit of a letdown. And I just want to encourage our hearts tonight to help us understand how much we need to be an example. We're going to go to a passage of scripture here, and I will try my best to get to the scripture, to get to the points, to get you out of here. And let's see, we got 20 minutes to get through here. So let's go ahead and get to our scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 12. And before we read the scripture, let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to, Lord, just let the young people, Lord, serve. And God, I pray for them. Lord, help these young people to, Lord, grow up loving you, to grow up to love to serve you. God, help them to give their talents. Lord, they have so many talents. They give their talents over to you. And God, would you bless these young people? Lord, help us that are here tonight to understand the importance of being an example, not just an impression. Oh, I'm a good impression upon these young people, but God, to be the example that we would want them to follow. And Lord, I'm very burdened for even some parents here tonight that have some kids. Lord, they are extremely the greatest example to their kids. More important than me, more important than pastor, is the parents, folks, tonight. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to see these scriptures tonight. Lord, this is not my word, this is your word. And God, as we look at your word tonight and see what it says, that, Lord, it would open our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight who does not know Jesus, Lord, they've never accepted Christ as their Savior. Lord, would they get that taken care of tonight? Would they realize what Jesus did on the cross for them? And Lord, would they realize that's all they need is Christ? And speak to that person's heart. Help them come forward tonight for salvation. Bless this time in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So here we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. This is a sermon that Paul preached that didn't have any words. It's a sermon that Paul preached. I know you would like me to do that tonight. Could you just preach a sermon where you don't say anything? We can just nap? Well, listen, the greatest sermon Paul preached was not his words. It was here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we have not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be charged one to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. This is Paul saying, listen, I have been with you, I have worked with you, I have lived with you, you have seen my life, it is an open book, and I have not done anything sinful, wrong, anything questionable. Not because I couldn't, because he could. He could have done some things that were people would have considered a little bit inappropriate. It's not sinful, it's just inappropriate. You know those what we call gray areas, right? Paul said, I didn't even touch the gray areas. I didn't even go into those questionable things. I simply did what was right, and I did not do those things that were wrong. Why did I do this? To be an example to you, to follow me. Listen, folks, what made Paul such a great man? It wasn't his preaching, okay? It was his example. We believe that if you've ever read the scriptures, you see Paul says he has a thorn in the flesh. And some of us believe that that thorn in the flesh had something to do with his speech. And so that Paul wasn't really even a very good preacher. What made Paul such a good man? The fact that Paul worked hard and he was an example. Folks, and our first point tonight is simple. You've heard it before, and let's say it again. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. We understand that, listen, the importance of walking with God. Not just coming to church and singing about God. Not just coming to church and saying, oh, great thou art. Not just singing about God, but actually walking with God. Anybody could, listen, I could bring, I'm trying to think of somebody's name. I don't even know, only musicians I know are dead. Someone named me a Alan Jackson, right? I could bring Alan Jackson in here, okay? And I could have Alan Jackson stand on the podium, and Alan Jackson could sing, How Great Thou Art. All right? But we would understand Alan Jackson would leave here and probably go to his concert and sing about drinking and all those other things he's doing. What Alan Jackson talks about walking with God, but his walk shows completely different. No one would look at Alan Jackson and say, hey, follow him. He's got the Christian life down. To me, it was when I was at the funeral, doing a funeral a couple times ago. I remember hearing, I never remember his name. One of those really bad country singers singing In the Garden. It's like, is that him singing In the Garden? How on earth can he sing a song about God and the other songs that he records? It didn't make sense to me. But, you know, folks, listen, anybody can sing about God. Anybody can say they love God. But to actually walk and show that you love God, that's a completely different story. And folks, I just want you to encourage you tonight. Listen, your walk talks louder than your talk. We must understand the importance of walking with God. We must understand how dangerous it is to walk close to sin. Listen, I'm not sinning, but I'm awfully close to it. I don't watch R-rated movies, but I watch PG-13 movies who have some inappropriate material. Hey, I don't do those really bad things, but I allow some things. Listen, if you're walking close to sin, you're allowing your children or someone to follow you close to sin. And most of them aren't going to be spiritually mature enough to discern the difference. Listen, we've got to understand that when we're being an example, we've got to stay away. We've got to not lead anybody close. You know, I would do it, but you probably wouldn't. Lead your kid close to an alligator, because I'm crazy like that. But just think, you know, I'm in Florida, living in Florida, and I did this a few times, and I got in trouble with my wife. But I would go out where the alligators were, and we would feed them. I would not feed them after my wife told me not to. But at the beginning, I would feed the alligators, and they would come to the shore, and they'd look at me, smile at me, and say, hi, Cody. And I had Micah with there, and listen, but I wouldn't get any closer than that, right? What would it be like for me to just jump in the water or to get close to the water? Micah would say, well, you can get close to the water, I could jump in. Micah doesn't know, he wasn't any better, he's just a kid. Folks, listen, don't even go close. If it's dangerous, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, get away. We must understand that children learn more from what they see rather than what they hear. Because if you're telling them no, and they see you do, they're going to do and not care about what you say. Folks, understand the importance of, hey, don't do this. Or if they come to church and they hear Pastor Cody say, well, listen, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And if you love God, you need to go here and go there and not do this and not do this. And then they come home and they say, Mom, Dad, I heard this at Sunday school. And you're embarrassed and blushed because you know what they're teaching in class and church is the Bible and God's Word. But when they come home, they're finding that it's hollow. It's not there. It's not implemented. Folks, if I'm teaching something and pastor's teaching something, if their Sunday school teachers are teaching something in the class about God, and they come home and they find out it's not there at home, who are they going to believe more? Some guy they see a couple hours every day? Some funny-looking dude who talks about it a couple hours a week? Or are they going to believe a parent who lives with them all day and says they love God? I don't want to go here, but I just want to folks, I think that sometimes, Lord willing, our best kids may have a better chance of serving God and going on to doing great things for God because they know what their parents are doing is wrong. Get this. But our kids who go to church, who are in the church, abused every Sunday and Wednesday night, and they go home and their parents are supposed to be knowing what's right and what's wrong, only to go home and find out it's not, how are they going to live their life? Knowing what they heard in church was wrong, and then go home and find out that mom and dad saying it's okay, how's that child going to live for God? Versus a bus kid who knows what his mom and dad are doing are wrong, like me. I knew what they were doing was wrong. And I came to church and found a good godly example to follow. And I was able to love God because I knew that was wrong and this was right. And I knew that what I needed to do was be in church and to listen to the preaching and follow the preaching. But folks, some of these young people in our houses or some of these folks that are your grandkids go to church and they hear it and they turn away from God. Why? Not because the church failed them. I've been blamed. I have been blamed for many young people. You didn't help my son or my daughter.
what a terrible youth pastor you are. And I said, as far as I know, I've been preaching the Bible ever since I started. As far as I know, I've been praying for them ever since I met them. As far as I know, I have had every chance, every activity, every opportunity I can to bring them closer to God. And I'm sorry if it's my fault. But folks, listen, I have been the example. And unfortunately, sometimes the parents are able to distract them. And I know this is tough, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but it's God's word. And it's so important because I love your children. And I want your children to learn to love God. And that's why I have to say it. And I'm sorry if it hurts you or offends you, but I love your child so much. And I want them to go home and to find a mom and a dad who loves God too, who's going to encourage them to do the right thing. I want your grandchild to love God and follow God and live for God. Listen, I'm not asking a ton from you tonight. I'm not asking you to teach a class. I'm just talking about you to be a good example at home. Be a good example when you come to church. Let's just go ahead and move on to the next point. Amen. Point number two, we find in Philippians chapter number 3, verses 7 through 12. Philippians chapter 3. So first point, listen, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Point number two is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. But what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, this is Paul, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were I already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is a man who was a sinner. This is a man, Paul, who was a murderer. This is a man who hated Christians, who hated Christ. Paul is saying, I failed miserably. Paul said, I was going in the opposite direction. I was following the devil's ways, per se. He thought he was serving God, but truthfully, he was serving the devil. He was living a wicked life according to God. And he says, I wasn't perfect. I didn't have all the answers. But when I got saved, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, he says, those things, I left them behind me. He said, I changed my life around. Because when I found truth, and when I found what was right, I did it. And folks, the point I want to make is this, very simply, it does not matter where you started, it's where you're headed that people are following you to. It does not matter where you started, it's where you're headed that people are following to. And two things I want to say about this. Number one, maybe you're here tonight and you've had a rough life. Maybe you're here tonight and things haven't gone very well for you. You've lived a poor example. But you're here at church on a Sunday night and you're saying, bless God, I was not a good person, I was a sinner, I was opposed to God, but bless God, now I'm heading in the right direction. Folks, let me just tell you something. That's all that matters, that you're heading in the right direction. Amen? God doesn't care about your past. I don't care about your past. Ain't nobody here should care about who you were. All we should care about is the fact that, bless God, you're trying to get your life straight and go for Jesus. Amen? That's all that should matter. But so many people think, I couldn't do anything great for God because I did these terrible things. Paul was a murderer. How bad does it get? If I were to ask you, what sin you think is the worst? Many would say, taking somebody's own life. There you go. Paul was a murderer. He did that. Yet what did he do? He said, when I got saved, I left those things behind. And I started following Jesus Christ. And I started living for him. Folks, listen. If you have a shady past, but you're heading in the right direction, don't let your shady past bother you. Nobody cares. It's nobody's business. Let it go. God's forgiven you. We've forgiven you. It's under the blood of Calvary. Just continue to follow God. And listen, nobody cares about what you were before. All that matters is what you are today. And if you're heading in the right direction, amen, praise God. You may just be a little short ways removed from that sinful life, but praise God, you're in the right direction. Keep going. And folks, we don't need to judge that person. We need to love that person. We need to encourage that person. Keep going. You can do it. I know what you're doing is right. Keep doing it. And if we see them fall down, don't, ha ha, you fell down. I knew you weren't really saved. No, lift them up, encourage them, help them. They need to understand that going in the right direction doesn't matter. But folks, let's flip that around. How about someone who's been saved for a long time? And someone who, when they first got saved, was like Paul, who turned their life around, who started doing right. But as the years have gone on and as Christianity has become a religion, not a relationship, as the years have gone on and this has become a habit, not a love thing you do, and you were following God, but sometime or other you were starting to drift. And maybe today you were on the right path, but today you understand, hey, listen, I was something for God, but today I ain't. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter where you were, it's where you're headed right now. Because somebody's watching you. And it doesn't matter if, you know, let's just take Michael Jordan, for instance. Listen, Michael Jordan, if you were to get on the court today, he wouldn't be that good. He'd be able to beat me and probably you. Maybe not Austin. But you know what? Listen, he was something great, but he's not so great anymore. Listen, if you in your life were saying, I was something, but now I ain't, you're heading the wrong direction. Listen, the Christian life is never one that slows down. It's always one that's moving further and closer to Jesus Christ. Folks, where are you path? Are you on the path that's, hey, listen, I'm just getting started, but I'm heading the right direction? Are you in the middle of the path and not sure which way to go? Or maybe you are, been further along. And you would look back in your life and say, I know there was a time in my life when I was closer to God than I am now. That would understand that you're heading in the wrong direction. Get the direction you have today straight and narrow according to Christ. Last point, we'll be done. It's a little bit past the scripture, but I need to read the entire past the scripture to help us understand the context here. And so this past the scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, very simply sums up to us how much Jesus loved children. Okay, and now we understand that when he's talking about little ones here, he's not just talking about children, though mostly children. He's also talking about little ones who are new believers in Jesus Christ. Now let's see what Jesus had to say about the little ones. It says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 10, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one of these little child in my name receiveth me. Here's the passage I want to get to. But whoso offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And I was taught that that meant that if someone were to molest or someone were to physically harm a child, that child abuse should be dealt with in a way that is, you know, the death penalty, right? That's what I was taught. But you finish reading that verse, and that's not what it's saying. It says here, so who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. There's that word offenses again. For it needs be that offense come, but woe to them, man, by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter to life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. That word offend does not mean child abuse. That word offend does not mean molesting. That word offense means, listen, a sin. Woe unto that person who offends, who sins in a way that causes a child to sin. The offense is not, I'm hurting them physically. The offense we're talking about here is a spiritual offense. Because we go on and read in the scripture, he's not offending with his eye. You can't physically harm someone with your eye, can you? I mean, if you pop it out, maybe, but you can't physically hurt somebody. So he's not talking about a physical offense here. He's talking about spiritually. If your eye spiritually offends you, meaning what you're looking at is an offense. This offense he's talking about here is not child abuse. This offense he's talking about is spiritual abuse. Meaning that, listen, if you cause a child to sin because of your sin, it's better that you lived, as Mia said this morning, in Lake Taylorville. She said, I have a friend who lives in Lake Taylorville. I said, oh, really? Are they a fish? She said, yes, my friend is a fish. I said, okay, I'm not judging you, but listen, hey, it would be better that you lived inside of Lake Taylorville, meaning under the sea, swimming with the fishes, than for you to go and sin and cause one of these little ones to follow after your sin. And I know that stings a little bit. But folks, just think about it. Just think about it. Jesus Christ here is saying, listen, we've got young believers. We've got new Christians here. And they're looking up to you for examples. They're looking up to you saying, how do I live? How do I walk? What do I do? And if we offend them and cause them to go away, folks, you finish what else Jesus says about what we should do. Point number three is simply this. If you lead a child to sin, you will be condemned even worse for leading someone to sin than the condemnation of your original sin. That sin is bad. It's sinful. It's wicked. It's evil. But to sin and then cause a new Christian or a young person to follow in your sin, shame. As I said, shame on me if I'm going to cause my children to sin. If I'm going to put things in front of their lives that cause them to sin, shame on me, not them, shame on me. Double, double, triple, double shame on me. Folks, in our lives, we must understand how important it is that we love and lead our young people. Jesus Christ loved children. Jesus Christ wanted to lead children. And he looked around at his followers and he said, listen, you see this child here? Just go ahead. Tanner, come on in. Come on up here. Tanner, come on. Jesus brought a young person in front of him. He said, you see this? You see this young person? He's looking. He's looking at how to live for Christ. And he looked at his disciples and he said, don't offend him. Don't show him the wrong way. Folks, listen, Tanner is here and he's real. And he's looking around at you. He's looking and saying, how do I live for God? Is he going to be able to look at you and be able to say, that's what I should do? Or maybe there's something that we would do that would offend him. Woe unto us that would cause Tanner to do something that is wrong. Thank you, Tanner. Good job. Have a seat. Here are three areas we need to work on. Number one, work just as hard on the backyard as you do the front yard. Amen. Work just as hard in the backyard as you do the front yard. So those of you who think, it only matters what I am on the inside. I mean, on the outside, that's all that people are going to see. You know what I didn't mention, but do you know who sees my backyard? Armin doesn't, hopefully. But do you know who sees my backyard? Micah. Do you know who else sees my backyard? My neighbors. Who am I trying to be an example to? I'm not trying to be an example to Armin. You know, Armin has a great looking house and, you know, it's beautiful. He does, but my neighbors, they don't. And they're looking at me how I should be an example. And I'm saying, hey, look, it's okay to have a clean front yard, but the backyard could be a mess. And my neighbors see that and they say, huh, he's just a hypocrite. He's just a Pharisee. He doesn't really mean what he says. Folks, listen, spend as much time in your backyard as you do your front yard. Spend as much time in your Bible as you do your makeup. Spend as much time in prayer and getting your heart right with God as you do whatever. Fill in the blanks. Spend as much time in your backyard as you do your front yard. Simply number two, if you're here tonight, someone is watching you and following in your footsteps. If you would not want someone to follow your footsteps, make some changes. Repent and start leading them in the right direction.
And I don't know if the verse is up here, but it's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. These things command and teach, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that was within thee, that was given to thee by prophecy, which the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is Paul teaching Timothy. Timothy, you're a young Christian. You're a new believer. Of course, he wasn't recently saved, but he had been in church for a little while. And he says, listen, don't think that you don't matter. He says, there are people who are watching you, Timothy. And folks, listen, if you are here tonight, I don't care how old you are, okay? I think Josiah is probably the youngest person in here, all right? I would think he's 4. All right? Noah's... So listen, Josiah is watching Micah, and Micah's 6. And my 6-year-old is watching Tanner. How old are you, Tanner?
8.
And Tanner is watching Riley. How old are you, Riley? 13. And Riley is watching, fill in the blanks, right? Everyone in here, someone is watching you and watching how you live your life. Be thou an example. Understanding, and then it says this, and this is where we'll close. Take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Point number 3 is this. Parents and grandparents. You, not me, are the spiritual guide of your child. I promise you that I am teaching them and leading them the right direction. However, if what I or pastors say does not match what you are teaching, then what I say has no impact. Please take what is taught from the scriptures. Take what is taught from the Bible. Continue thou in doctrine. And in doing so, thou shalt both save thyself and your children. You want to have children who love God? You want to have children who follow God? You want to have grandchildren who follow God? Follow God. How? You just follow God. And they'll follow right behind you because little ducks do that. And your children are going to follow right behind you. And your grandchildren are going to follow right behind you. And folks, listen, I don't have any grandchildren. I don't have any children. There are bus kids in here. And there are church kids in here who are following your example. Continue. Listen, and if you will follow the example that the scriptures put in front of you, I promise you, you will enjoy the destination where that takes you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come to your house to worship you. Lord, I know this is somewhat of a touchy subject. And Lord, I'm sure there's no one here that's heart's not touched a little bit. But Lord, touching their hearts is truly, Lord, what Lord, I'm trying to get is to their attention. But Father God, it's going to take the Holy Spirit of God to turn their hearts around. And Lord, I have preached truth. I have taught the scriptures. And Lord, I have pleaded with them and I have begged them and I have prayed that, Lord, someone here would understand how much they matter and how important they are to somebody, whether it's their neighbors, whether it's their children or grandchildren, whether it's a bus kid or a church kid, somebody's watching them. And, Lord, sometimes we think if I just put on a good impression and just make the front yard look good, everybody will think I'm so such something good. But, God, occasionally, sometimes they get a peek in the backyard and they find out, oh, wow, that's not what it's supposed to be. And Father, just as I bit into that hollow Easter bunny and found out disappointment and got discouragement, Lord, these young people in here would be disappointed and discouraged that the person they followed was hollow and there was no substance there. God, it's so important that we understand that we do our small part in this church for our young people. And that small part is that we be an example for them to follow. Lord, I had a Judy and a Jerry Greer. I had a Steve and Rosa Hegland. I had a Terry and Mrs. Sears in my church. Lord, I pray that tonight there will be some of these folks that will rise up tonight and say, I'm going to love those kids. And I'm going to be the example that I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to read my Bible every morning. And I'm going to pray every morning. Because I want to be a good example for my children, my grandchildren. And I want to be a good example for those kids so that if they ever saw me, I would not offend them. Help us, God, to not offend one of these little ones. In Jesus' name, amen.
The piano's going to play. Everyone's head bowed, eyes closed. And as the piano plays, just spend a few minutes in prayer, talking to God.